One weekend, during the summer of 1969, thousands of teenagers gathered near Dallas, Texas, for a national music concert. During this same weekend, another Christian friend and I were doing counseling work with teenagers in a local jail. They were there for shoplifting, running away from home, drugs, and other crimes. We often went to this jail to talk with the teenagers to help them have a right relationship with the Lord. We knew this could also help stop their life of crime. During this weekend, the jailer told us there was a 15-year-old girl that needed help. They said she was very shy and might not talk to us. She would not talk to the jailers or the other teenagers locked up. She had been hitchhiking all over the United States since she was 13 years old. We visited with her for a few minutes, then we told her about Jesus Christ using the Bible map God's Plan of the Ages. This shy girl became excited and began talking to us. She said, "This is what teenagers are looking for. They're looking for an answer to life. This is what I've been looking for. This is the answer." She then gladly trusted Jesus Christ as her personal Savior. Many people all over the world are looking for an answer to life. Perhaps you've wondered, why do I exist? Why am I a living, breathing human being? As we go through this Bible map together, I hope you see God's reason for our life. Of course, the Bible has this answer. However, some people do not believe the Bible is the Word of God. Do you, my friend? Do you really believe the Bible is the Word of God? If someone asked you, could you tell them why you believe the Bible is God's Word? There are many reasons. My favorite reason is the unity and harmony of the Bible. You see, the Bible is not just one book. It's 66 books written by nearly 40 different writers. They wrote it during 1,500 years' time in three different languages. Most of these men did not know each other, nor what the others wrote. And yet, when you put these 66 books together, they fit together like a hand in a glove. Why? How can that be? The Bible gives the answer to this mystery in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. There were nearly 40 human writers, but only one author. The Holy Spirit of God directed what those 40 human writers wrote. So the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible, God's Word. Now, let's study the Bible map, God's Plan of the Ages. As you listen to this tape, please follow along with a printed copy of the Bible map. The Bible map chart is a panoramic view of the Bible. It goes from eternity past on your left to eternity future on your right. It also explains the purpose of life. Let's summarize the purpose of life with four words: people, name, possession, glory. God is working, gathering out of the population of the world a people for His name, for an eternal possession, for His glory. The Bible and this Bible map show how God is doing this. On your Bible map, you'll notice seven major divisions of time, which we call ages or dispensations. Starting with the left, you can see them named on the chart above the red line: innocence, conscience, human government, promise, law, grace, and kingdom. Notice under the red line, in each age, there is a pattern of responsibility, failure, and judgment. In each age, God gives people a specific test or responsibility. In each age, most people fail to obey God and keep that responsibility. And in each age, this disobedience brings a major judgment from God. Now, these are not seven different methods of salvation. Please notice on your Bible map the explanation under the bottom green line. Look in the very lower left-hand corner. That paragraph reads, "Salvation in every dispensation is by the grace of God," that is, the undeserved, unearned gift, "and we receive God's grace by faith alone." Notice we give you some scripture references there in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They show that God's plan of salvation has always been, is today, and will continue to be by God's grace or mercy. And we can only receive it by faith alone. However, these seven tests do teach us a lesson. They teach us that people are sinful and lost, and they cannot save themselves. Let's go through and see these tests. And as you see this theme develop, it will become more and more relevant and exciting as we approach the age in which we're now living. We'll also study the future events that the Bible says are going to happen. In the first age, innocence, God created people in a perfectly innocent state. If you wish, you can stop this tape and look up the scripture references in the first colored responsibility block. Adam was given a very simple test. Do not eat. God told Adam not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. God said, in the day that you eat of that tree, you shall surely die. Notice the first failure block of scripture references. They ate. Satan lied to Eve. Satan is a very subtle and very convincing liar. He often mixes some truth with his lies to deceive people. For example, Satan told Eve, no, you won't die. You will become like God, knowing right from wrong, but you won't die. When he said that they would gain the knowledge of good and evil, that was true. But when he said they would not die, that was a lie because God had said they would. They listened to Satan and disobeyed God. They did eat, and death was part of that judgment. That death includes both physical death and spiritual death. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God for all eternity. Why must God separate sinful people from himself? Let's ask the question another way. What is there about the character and nature of God that requires separation from sin? The answer is God's holiness. God is without sin in his presence, his person, or his character, and there never can be sin in his presence. So the absolute holiness of God requires separation from sin. Now that Adam and Eve sinned, all their ancestors, including you and me, were born with a sinful nature. We are therefore condemned to spend eternity separated from this holy God unless our sin is taken care of. And that's what the rest of the Bible and the rest of this plan is all about. It shows how God takes care of our sin. Look now at the second age, conscience. This test is to see if conscience is enough of a guide to bring people into a right relationship with God. Many people even today think it is. They think that if a person is sincere, that's good enough. However, that's a wrong philosophy today, as it was in the second age. People can be sincerely wrong. For example, a person could drink poison sincerely thinking it was medicine. Being sincere would not change it from being poison. Notice the second responsibility block. God told them to do all known good and to approach him with animal blood sacrifices. This was to show their faith in God. Notice the second failure block. The majority rebelled against God and became wicked. In fact, the Bible says they became so wicked it grieved God's heart he'd even made people in the first place. And judgment again became necessary. It was the universal flood upon all people except Noah and his family. They all drowned because they refused to believe God. They refused to appropriate God's provision for their salvation. Noah was safe from the wrath and judgment of God because he believed God. The Bible in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7 says, Noah moved with fear of something not seen as yet. What was it? He had not seen a flood. He did not even know what rain was. In Genesis 2, 6, the Bible says God had watered the plants with a mist up to the time of the flood. Noah believed God that rain, in fact a flood, was coming. For 120 years he worked building the ark. And I can imagine the people in that day thought Noah was insane building that big boat. They probably got drunk and went out to make fun of Noah. However, Noah believed God's warning of the coming flood. When the flood did come, Noah was safe from the judgment of God because he was in the ark. Now that's very important. He was in the ark. Notice it was not enough to just build the ark. It was not enough to believe that a flood was coming. Noah was safe because he was in the ark. The Bible in Romans 8:1 says there is no condemnation, no judgment for people today who are in Christ. For example, you may be close to trusting Christ as your Savior. Your family and friends may be close to trusting Christ. However, close is not enough. The only safety is to trust the death of Christ as the payment for our sins. In the third age, human government, after the flood, notice the third responsibility and failure. God told them to scatter and multiply and replenish the earth. The Bible in Genesis 11:4 tells us they tried to build a tower to heaven. They said, let's make ourselves a name. Let's do this so we won't scatter abroad upon the face of the earth. This was direct disobedience to what God had told them to do. This time God spared their lives. He just gave them different languages, and this event was the origin of our languages. This stopped their building program and scattered them throughout the world. Now, why did God spare their lives this time? The Bible in Ezekiel 33:11 says God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. And in 2 Peter 3:9, the Bible says God is not willing that any should perish. He wants people to repent of their sins and to accept His provision for their salvation. God loves you and me, and He wants to forgive us and take away our sins. He wants to save us from future judgment in the lake of fire. God did not create the lake of fire for people. The Bible says in Matthew 25:41 that God created the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. However, many people refuse God's love and reject His salvation, so there's no alternative. God will have to separate them from Himself for all eternity in the lake of fire. In the fourth age, promise, God called a man by the name of Abram, whose name was later changed to Abraham. God told him to go to the promised land, which we now know to be the land of Israel. Abram was to dwell there, to live there, to stay there. God promised to raise up of him a special nation. Through this nation, God would prove to the world that He was the true and living God. That nation of people is the nation of Israel. Abram went to the land, but he did not stay. That was their failure or disobedience. The test was a famine in the land of Israel. Their lack of faith in God caused them to leave Israel. They went down into Egypt. Their judgment eventually was Egyptian slavery under the Pharaohs building the pyramids. After many years, God brought Moses to deliver them out of Egyptian slavery. Moses repeatedly went before the Pharaoh to get him to release the children of Israel. Each time he would not release the children of Israel, God brought a plague or a judgment upon the Egyptians. The Bible says in Exodus 7:20 that God turned the water to blood. The dust became lice. There was a plague of flies throughout the houses. Hailstones fell and destroyed the crops. Clouds of locusts came and ate what the hail left. There was a plague of boils and sores upon the Egyptians. Their cattle died. Then came the death of the firstborn. God instructed them to put blood on their doorpost. A death angel killed the firstborn of every family that did not apply the blood. Plague after plague came to get Pharaoh to release the children of Israel, but each time he refused. One plague brings out an interesting characteristic of human beings. It was the plague of the frogs recorded in Exodus 8:1-15. God warned that frogs would come up out of the river and infiltrate their homes. He said there would be frogs in their beds. There would be frogs in their ovens and in their kneading troughs where they made their bread. They would have frog sandwiches whether they wanted them or not. Everywhere they went, here were these slimy creatures. Finally, Pharaoh got his fill of the frogs and he called Moses to take away the frogs. This pleased Moses and he said, "Glory over me! When shall I take away the frogs?" Now what would you have said? If you had these slimy creatures everywhere and you'd finally gotten your fill of them, when would you want the frogs taken away? Well, surely anyone in their right mind would have said immediately. Exodus 8:10 tells us Pharaoh said, "Tomorrow." He wanted one more night with the frogs. Now, this sounds ridiculous and even humorous. However, there is a lesson for us. Many times God deals with our hearts about some matter, for example, our salvation. Some people just keep putting it off, like one more night with the frogs, one more night in their sins. Or perhaps we're already a Christian, but God is dealing with our hearts about some area of the Christian life. We rebel and refuse to allow God to have His way in our life. We know we should act or decide, and we should do it now. Our rebellion is like one more night with the frogs. The lesson for us is the foolishness of procrastination. The children of Israel came to the Red Sea to leave Egypt. The sea trapped them, and the Egyptian army was in pursuit. In Exodus 14:13-14, God said, "Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." He said, "The Lord shall fight for you." In verse 21 and 22, the Bible says, God parted the water of the sea. It was a wall of water on the right and a wall of water on the left, and the children of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground. The Egyptians tried to follow them, and God fought for Israel as He promised. Now, this is a surprise to a lot of people, but check your Bible in Exodus 14:25. God actually caused the Egyptian chariot wheels to come off. This gave the children of Israel time to get out of the Red Sea. Then God closed the sea down on the Egyptians. Verse 25 says, the Egyptians then realized the Lord was fighting for the children of Israel. However, they realized it too late. The people of Israel were happy. God had delivered them from the Egyptians. However, it was only 3 days in the wilderness before they were murmuring and complaining again. They actually wanted to be back in slavery in Egypt rather than trust God for their daily food and water. Obviously, there was a lesson they still needed to learn. God then brought them down to Mount Sinai, where He gave them the law, and this started age number 5. The law was in 2 parts. One part was the ceremonial law. God instructed the people to offer animal blood sacrifices as a temporary covering for their sins. The other part was the moral law, which we know as the Ten Commandments. People often say, even today, that they're trying to keep the Ten Commandments for their salvation. Just trying to keep them. But salvation was never, ever the purpose of the Ten Commandments. The purpose was to show people that they are sinners and that God is holy. The responsibility of age number 5, law, was to keep all the law. And the children of Israel said, all that God has spoken, we will do. They did not realize how sinful they were. They did not realize how holy God was. If they did, they would have known they could not keep the law. They committed themselves to keep the law, but they did not. That reference there in the 5th failure in the book of Kings says they went back into idolatry. And their sins and disobedience blinded them. Jesus Christ, the long-promised Savior, was born in that age. Their Old Testament, in Isaiah 7:14, predicted that He would be born of a virgin. Their Bible, in Micah 5:2, predicted that He would be born in Bethlehem. He lived among them. They should have recognized who He was. A few people did, but most did not. With His perfect life, Christ kept the moral law, the Ten Commandments. With His death on the cross for our sins, He fulfilled the ceremonial law. He became the final sacrifice for our sins. Thus, Jesus Christ, with His perfect life and His substitutionary death, completely fulfilled all the requirements of the law. The 5th major judgment was Israel's worldwide dispersion. God predicted this judgment 1,500 years before Christ. You can read it in the Bible in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 63 through 66. In A.D. 33, Israel rejected and crucified Christ. Pilate washed his hands and said, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. The people said, His blood be upon us and upon our children. You can read their very words in Matthew 27:25. They invited God's judgment, and it came. In A.D. 50, the Romans killed 50,000 Jews. In A.D. 66, Nero killed another 40,000 Jews. In A.D. 70, Titus, the Roman general, surrounded the city and cut off their supplies. The Jews came very close to starving to death. Titus killed 1 million Jews and captured 97,000. And most of the remaining Jews fled throughout the world. Today we're living in age number 6, the age of grace. It extends from the death of Christ to the return of Christ. This is not the first display of God's grace. God has shown His grace and mercy throughout all the ages. For example, He gave Noah 120 years' time to build the ark to survive the judgment of the flood. 3 days after the death of Christ, He arose from the grave. This proved that Christ's death satisfied God as the payment for our sins. A few days later, Christ ascended back up to heaven. A few days later, the Holy Spirit started indwelling believers. Today, the Holy Spirit permanently indwells all people the instant they place their trust in Christ alone for their salvation. The responsibility today in the grace or church age is twofold. As in all ages from the beginning, salvation is by God's grace through faith. So today, our first responsibility is to place our trust in Christ's death as the payment for our sins. There's also a second responsibility today. For us who have trusted Christ as our Savior, we are to allow the indwelling Holy Spirit to control our lives. There are some believers today who are not allowing the indwelling Holy Spirit to control their lives. And they are failing part of the dispensational responsibility. They're missing part of the reason for their life on earth today. Now look at the explanations in the columns under the green line. Please see the third column discussing the tribulation judgment. Some of the events that are going to happen during the next major judgment are very frightening. However, the Bible promises them, so they will happen just like God's Word says. Please read the third column with me. The tribulation will be God's wrath on this Christ-rejecting world, and men will beg the mountains to fall on them to hide them. And there's your reference in Revelation chapter 6. There will be wars, and at least one half the world's population will be killed. And there's the scripture reference. Men will be scorched with fire, there will be great earthquakes, and 100-pound hail. Cities will fall, and every island and mountain will disappear after the rapture. And there's the scripture references. During this coming 7-year tribulation, there are 3 sets of 7 judgments each. I believe some of these judgments will happen by the hand of man. Several years ago, the Moody Institute of Science put out a chart. It showed there has been more scientific accomplishment during the last 50 years than all of previous civilization combined. I worked in electronics for 20 years before starting my ministry. Nuclear weapons are very frightening. Why has God allowed such scientific technology during the last 50 years? I believe people are going to use these weapons as part of the coming tribulation judgments. The scriptures often describe fire falling from heaven during the tribulation. Could this be a reference to nuclear bombs and missiles? The Bible foretells that during the end times, people's flesh will consume away while they're standing on their feet. Their eyes shall consume away in their eye sockets, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. You can read this in your Bible in Zechariah chapter 14, verse 12. The Bible further says, heat and fire from out of the heavens will scorch people on the earth, and they will gnaw out their tongues because of the pain. You can read this for yourself in Revelation chapter 16, verse 8 through 10, in your own Bible. For example, during World War II, nuclear bombs fell on Japan. They burned people's flesh away while they were standing on their feet. 3 days after maximum infection set in, many more people died. They gnawed out their tongues from the pain. The Reader's Digest gave this report after it happened. The Reader's Digest report described exactly what the Bible predicted for the end times. So I believe God is going to allow people to use nuclear weapons during the coming tribulation judgment. The world is preparing for the 7-year tribulation judgment right now, and they don't even realize it. Now here's some good news. The first part of the return of Christ will come before the 7-year tribulation. It's the rapture of the saved. The word rapture means snatched away or taken quickly. This is the event there on your Bible map chart that looks like a little fish hook. That scripture reference, 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17, tells us the dead in Christ shall rise first. That refers to the people of this age who put their trust in Christ but died. God is going to resurrect them first. Now let's stop and look at the resurrections at the bottom of the chart under age number 6. You will see that the resurrection of the saved is in 3 parts or phases. The first phase is Matthew 27, 51 and 52. It tells about a resurrection of Old Testament believers when Christ arose from the grave. The second phase is for believers still alive when the rapture comes. God will quickly take us up with the dead in Christ to be with the Lord for eternity. The third and final phase of the resurrection of the saved will be at the end of the tribulation. There will be people saved during the tribulation. However, most of them will die for their faith during the tribulation. Look at your Bible map below the green line at the second column of information. About halfway down, you will see in capital letters, those who reject Christ to the rapture or their death will not have another opportunity. 2 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 12 is the scripture reference for this. Many people living in our present age have heard and understood the gospel of Christ. However, many reject Jesus Christ as their Savior. They will not have another chance for salvation during the tribulation. Their death or the rapture will end their day of opportunity as it was in the days of the flood. Back in Noah's days, people probably became believers when the water got up to their nostrils. However, it was too late. God had shut the door of the ark and sealed it 7 days before the rain came. Their chance was over. It's going to be that way again at the coming tribulation. So please do not wait until the rapture occurs thinking you can get saved after the rapture. Those who become Christians during the tribulation will be children or people who did not hear the gospel before the rapture. And remember, most of them will die for their faith during the tribulation. Now, let's come back to the rapture. At this event, Christ does not come all the way to the earth. The dead and living in Christ will meet Him in the air. Then, after the tribulation judgment, will be the return of Christ in His glory. This time, Jesus Christ will come all the way back down to the earth. He will set up His 1,000-year kingdom or reign of peace on the earth. Israel, God's chosen people, will receive all the blessings promised to her starting with Abraham 4,000 years ago. You can follow the past, present, and future of Israel there on your Bible map in the green. Israel started at the beginning of dispensation number 4 with Abraham. She broke the law, rejected Christ, and got scattered throughout the world. However, God predicted Israel would also return to her own land. During World War II, Hitler butchered 6 million Jews and turned the bodies of another 200,000 into soap, lampshades, and coats. Then Jews began returning to Israel. On May the 14th, 1948, Israel officially became an independent nation. The world watched in amazement during the Six-Day War of June 1967. The tiny nation of Israel defeated the Arab nations. She took back land God said would eventually be hers in Genesis 15:18. The return of Israel to the land in 1948 is very important. It's one of the evidences that show we may be approaching the end of the dispensation of grace. The increase of immorality today is another sign. We may be very near the end of this age and the beginning of the tribulation. Now notice, we've had 6 tests so far. God tested Adam in his innocent state in the first age, and he failed God. The second age proved conscience was not enough guide to bring people to a right relationship with God. With the responsibility of human government, people failed God. With God's direct promise of Israel, if the people stayed in Israel, they failed God. Even with God's written law, people failed God. And even today, in age number 6, most people are still not trusting Christ alone for their salvation. Now look at your Bible map at the upper left-hand corner, and you'll see Satan's path, past, present, and future. The first scripture, Isaiah 14, 12 through 15, refers to when God cast Satan out of heaven. Because of Satan's rebellion and pride, he tried to take over God's throne. The next scripture, Job 1:7, says Satan is the accuser of the brethren. He goes back and forth between God and men, trying to get men in trouble. Ephesians 2:2 says Satan is the prince and power of the air. In this capacity, he influences the thinking, the morals, and the motives of people on earth. Satan efficiently uses his own key characteristics of selfishness and pride as the root of all sin in people even today. In the middle of the 7-year tribulation, the powers in heaven will cast Satan down to the earth. He will embody the Antichrist for 3.5 years and bring terrible persecution to the people on earth, especially Israel. When Christ comes back to earth in His glory at the end of the 7-year tribulation, He will put Satan out of operation for 1,000 years. This final age of 1,000 years will be a perfect environment on the earth. Satan's direct influence will not be in the world. Jesus Christ is going to be here, personally, physically, ruling and reigning. The responsibility of the seventh age is for those believers who survive the tribulation and their descendants. They are to obey Christ and worship Him once a year in Jerusalem. However, part of those descendants will just pretend their worship. It will not be genuine. At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan gets a release for a little season, and here comes the final dispensational failure. Many of those tribulation descendants who just pretended to worship Christ will flock back to Satan. There will be one final rebellion opposing Christ. The Bible simply says God will devour those people with fire out of heaven. Then Satan is himself going to be cast into the lake of fire forever. Next will be the final white throne judgment. At this judgment, God will resurrect all the unsaved people of all ages. God will open the books. He will show the unsaved people their names are not in the Lamb's Book of Life. He will open the Book of Works. He will show the unsaved people their works were not good enough to save them from their sins. They're going to meet Jesus Christ face to face. They're going to see the nail prints in His hands. They're going to know He loved them and died to save them. And they're going to know they rejected His love and died in their sins. God must then cast them into the lake of fire with Satan and his demons. God does not want it, but His holiness requires it. Now please look at your Bible map in the upper right-hand corner. The destruction of the earth as we now know it will occur. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. All people who place their trust in Christ will be His people. They will be an eternal possession for His glory. That's the plan and purpose of the Bible explaining the reason for life. God has allowed us to be born so we can receive His salvation. He wants us to be His people for His name, for an eternal possession for His glory. This is so we can be with Him for all eternity. And God also wants to give us His very best in all areas of our daily lives now. Come back with me now to age number 6, the age of grace, where we're now living. Picture the path that each of us will take. It will be one path or the other. If you are in Christ, you will be taken at the rapture to be with the Lord for eternity. However, my friend, if you have not yet trusted Christ to be your Savior, you may be in danger. If you put off this decision until your death or the rapture, your chance will be over. You will go into the horrible 7-year tribulation judgment, death, and eternal separation from God. The rapture is going to separate the saved people from the unsaved people. The criterion is not what kind of a life we've lived. It's not how religious we are. It's not what church we're a member of. The criterion is what have we done about Jesus Christ. God loves you, and He does not want you in the lake of fire. Jesus loves you, and He does not want you in the lake of fire. Only Satan wants to rob God of the glory of saving you. In John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." What have you done about Jesus Christ?
Did you know that you can have proof of your salvation and eternal life? The quiz on the backside of the Bible map has helped thousands of people since 1969 to have that proof and be absolutely sure of their personal relationship with the Lord and their eternal life in heaven. Please go through the questions and scriptures on the back of the Bible map as you listen to Track 2.